Please be seated. The text for our meditation this evening is the gospel we heard from Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. The words I speak are those used by Martin Luther in his Second Advent Sunday in the year 1522. The signs of the day of judgment. The first thing for us to understand is that although the signs preceding the judgment day are many and great, they will all be fulfilled, even though none or very few men take note of or esteem them as such. For two things must take place according to the word and prophecy of Christ and the apostles. First, that many and great signs will be made manifest. And secondly, that the last day will come unawares, the world not expecting it, even though that day be at the door. Though men see these signs, yea, be told that they are signs of the last day, still they will not believe. But in their security, mockingly they'll say, "Thou fool, hast thou feared that the heavens will fall and that we shall live to see that day?" Some indeed must see it, and it will be those who least expect it. That there will be such security and indifference among men, let us prove by the words of Christ and the apostles. Christ says in verses 34 and 35, "Take heed to yourselves, lest by chance your hearts are overcharged with fulfilling all your desires and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that they come on you suddenly as a snare. For so shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of all the earth." From these words it is clear that men in great measure will give themselves over to fulfilling all their earthly desires and drunkenness and the cares of this life. But being drowned, as it were, in these things, they will rest secure and continue to dwell on the earth as if the dreadful day were far away. For were there no such security and heedlessness, that day would not break in unawares. But he says, it will come as a snare by which birds and beasts are caught at a time when most concerned about their food and least expecting to become entrapped. In this figure, he gives us clearly to understand that the world will continue its carousing, eating and drinking, building and planting, and diligently seeking after earthly things, and will look upon the day of judgment as yet a thousand and more years off, when in the twinkling of an eye, they may stand before the terrible judgment bar of God. Little side note, when I first read this, I thought, this is all going on today. You'll see why. There is now no doubt that Christ did not foretell these signs in the expectation that no one would note nor recognize them. They should appear, although few indeed will do so. Just as in the days of Noah or Lot, but few knew the punishment in store for them. Were this not true, the admonition of Christ would have been in vain. When you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is near. Then that's because your redemption draws nearer. There must then be some, at least, who do recognize the signs, and they do lift up their heads and wait for their redemption, although they do not really know or what day it will come. We should be careful, therefore, to note whether the signs are being fulfilled now or have been, or they will be in the future. I do not wish to force on anyone to believe as I do. Neither will I permit anyone to deny me the right to believe, and to believe that the last day is near at hand. These words and signs of Christ compel me to believe that such is the case. For the history of the centuries that have passed since the birth of Christ nowhere reveals conditions like those of this present day. There has never been such building and planting in the world. There has never been such gluttonous and varied eating and drinking as now. Wearing apparel has reached its limit in costliness. Who has ever heard of such commerce as now encircles the earth? I thought about the internet. There have arisen all kinds of art and sculpture, embroidery and engraving, the like of which has not been seen since during the whole Christian era. In addition, men are so delving into the mysteries of things that today, a boy of 20 knows more than 20 doctors formerly knew. Day after day dawns, and the same conditions remain. There was never such keenness, understanding, and judgment among us Christians in bodily and temporal things as now. I forbear to speak of the new inventions, printing, firearms, and other implements of war. Moreover, the Pope has attempted to abolish Christ and to become his vicar. He occupies the throne of Christ on earth. Would to God he occupied the devil's throne instead. I forbear to speak of the grosser forms of sin, unchastity, murder, infidelity, covetousness, and the like, which are all practiced without shame or fear. Unchastity has taken forms against nature and has affected no station or condition more than the spiritual character of the clergy. Shall I call it spiritual, since it is so fleshly and void of all simplicity? Whatever other signs may appear before Christ's coming, I know that, according to the words of Christ himself, these will be present. Consumption of all desires, drunkenness, building and planting, buying and selling, marrying and given in marriage, and other cares of this life. Just as certain to me, it is also the saying of Christ in Matthew chapter 2, verse 15, where he speaks of the abomination of desolation, the Antichrist, under whose rule gross error, blindness, and sin shall flourish. Now these sins now flourish under the Pope in the most tyrannical and shameless form. This above all else compels me to believe that Christ will come soon to judgment, for such sins cry to heaven and so provoke and do not defy the last day that it must soon break in upon them. to destroy, to root out, to condemn and blaspheme the divine service, God's word and sacraments, the children of God and everything that belongs to God, and to worship and honor the devil instead, and to proclaim his lies for the word of God. Such sins, I am firmly convinced, will put an end to the world before we are aware of it. Second Peter chapter 3, we read, in the last days mockers shall come with mockery, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? From the day the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise. In the words of Jesus, he said tonight, and there shall be signs in the sun. This sign to be given in the sun is that it will lose its brightness after the manner in which it has often darkened. As Matthew 24, verse 29 says, the sun shall be darkened. I will not trespass here again, but express my opinion. Some think that the sun is to be darkened as to never shine again. But this cannot be the meaning. For the day and night must continue to the end, as God foretells in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, in cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease, he said. This sign must therefore not interfere with day and night and still be fulfilled before the judgment day. For it is a token of its coming. It cannot, therefore, be more than a darkening of the sun in its accustomed course. And in the moon, Jesus said, this sign is given in Matthew 24 to the effect that the moon shall not give her light, that is, it will lose its brightness. The same is to be said of this as of the signs of the sun, no matter how natural it may be. It is not true that scarcely a year has passed of late in which sun or moon or both have been eclipsed. Sometimes one of them twice a year. If these are not signs, then what are signs? It may be that at other times more were seen than now, but surely not in more rapid succession. When Jerusalem was to be destroyed, some signs preceded which had occurred before, but they were still new tokens. And again, as our Lord said in the gospel, and in the stars. According to Matthew 24, verse 29, the stars shall fall from heaven. This is seen almost daily around this earth, whether it is seen as frequently in former days as now, I cannot say. The gospel, which is the word and wisdom of God, pronounces the falling of the stars a sign, and there let the matter rest. Wherefore, if the stars fall, or the sun or the moon fail to give their light, be assured that these are signs of the last day, for the gospel cannot utter falsehood. While in these years there have been so many showers of stars, they are all harbingers of the last day, just as Christ says, for they must appear often in order that the great day may be abundantly pointed out and proclaimed. These signs shall appear and pass, but no one considers them. So it shall be that they will wait for other signs, just as the Jews are waiting for another Christ. And upon the earth, distress of nations in perplexity. This is not to be understood that all nations and all people among these nations will so suffer. For you must note that these are to be signs. Stars do not fall from the heavens at all times. The sun does not lose its brightness for a whole year or a month, but for an hour or two. The moon does not refuse to give its light for a whole week or a whole night, but like the sun for an hour or two, that all these may be tokens without changing or perverting the order of things. Hence, not many will suffer distress and anxiety, but only a few. And even with these, it will be only at times that they be signs to those who despise the idea and attribute all to the complexion or the melancholy or to the influence of the planets or to any other natural cause. Men fainting for fear and for expecting of these things which are coming on the world. Here, those who disregard God's tokens and refer all to natural causes that shall realize these, but rather the better class and the most distinguished, who take these things to heart and are given to reflection by men fainting for fear, is to be understood that they shall be frightened to death, or the next thing to death, and that their fear shall consume them and rob them of their strength. What do they fear or wait for? Christ says, the things which are coming on the world, that is, the last day, the terrible judgment, hell, fire, and eternal death. Why do they fear and look for these things and not the world upon whom they will come rather than upon them? Because these are all tokens of God which are to be despised and rejected by the world. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Here, the power may again signify the host of angels, saints, and all the other creatures that will come with Christ. They will come to judgment. I believe this is the correct interpretation. Or it may mean the special power and might which will characterize this coming of Christ in a contradistinction to his first coming. He says not only that he will come, but that they shall see him come. At his birth he came also, but men did not recognize him. He comes now through the gospel in a spiritual manner into the hearts of men and believers. This also is not by observation, but his last coming will be such that all must see him, as Revelation 1 says, and every eye shall see him. But when he says they shall see the Son of Man, he clearly indicates that we'll be in bodily form, a bodily seeing in bodily form, a coming in great power and glory, accompanied by all the hosts of heaven. He shall sit upon the clouds and be accompanied by all the saints. Now the comfort that Christians will have when all of these signs appear, when these things begin to come to pass, look up. He does not say be filled with fear or drop your heads, for there is coming that for which we have been so earnestly praying all this time. If we really wish to be free from sin and death and hell, we must look forward to this coming of the Lord. And we look forward to it with joy and pleasure. But to believers, that day will be comforting and sweet. That day will be the highest joy and safety to the believer, and the deepest terror and anguish to the unbeliever. Just as also in this life, the truths of the gospel are exceedingly sweet to the godly and exceedingly hateful to the wicked. Why should the believer fear and not rather exceedingly rejoice, since he trusts in Christ who comes as judge to redeem him and to be his everlasting portion? Therefore, Christ would assure us and wake us up to look for the day when these signs shall appear. We are to realize that through the signs be uncertain. Those are not in danger who look upon them as tokens from God, while those who despise them are in the greatest danger. Hence, let us play with certainties and consider the above-named signs as truly such, lest we run with the unspiritual. God grant this. Amen. Now, may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus. Amen.